Our scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Colossians chapter 1. And we'll actually start our reading in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 12. To those of you who are visiting with us, you are new to this series through Colossians, and in some regards, the rest of us are too. This is an evening series that I've been doing on weeks when I need to preach in the evening, and I didn't look back in the calendar, but I think it's been 6 or 7 weeks probably since we've spent any time in Colossians. So, and that we kind of knew that this would be the case. But we'll hear from God's Word. We'll read 1 through 12, especially be focused this evening on verses 9 through 12. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints, faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it is also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives. Well, those of you who are faithful students of our bulletin know that it's a little bit more complicated, our looking this evening at Colossians 1, 9 through 12, than just the fact that it's been 6 or 7 weeks since we've been in the book of Colossians. What you happen to know if you follow our bulletin closely is that this is the third time that Colossians 1, 9 through 12 has been listed as our evening text. The first time I called an audible and a different text for a communion message that the Lord put on my heart through bulletin had gone to press. The second time, God in his mercy to me had David Whitla in town, and so I did not preach. And so now, here this evening, and the third time, arguably, is the charm. Now, that may seem to all of you as just an odd providence, and I would have agreed until this week, if you will, the Lord and I had a little bit of a falling out over this passage. The Lord used this passage, and the Lord wanted me in this passage for a third week because the Lord wanted to discipline me a little bit from this passage. And so this message this evening has a particularly personal focus. You won't necessarily hear that. I'm not going to tell you all the ways that the Lord convicted me of sin from this passage, but I am very clear why God had this passage put off one time, put off a second time, and finally used this week, because the Lord wanted to instruct me from this passage this week. Well, the great theme of this passage we can see coming out in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. And one of the temptations whenever we think about walking worthy of the Lord is to think of those words as applying, of course, to people like the Apostle Paul, like Timothy, like maybe elders, or really godly people But the rest of us can read those verses and take a pass and to say, well, I'm just content to get by in the Christian life, and this concept of walking worthy, while it is good for super saints, is not really for people like me. But notice how Paul's prayer is directed to the entirety of the church. So before you check out tonight and look around the room and say, well, I'm glad there are people here who this passage applies to, recognize that as Paul is writing these words, that this is to the saints, to the whole church there at Colossae, and that it's to all those, verse 12, who have been qualified by the Father to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So, if you are in Jesus Christ tonight, if your path is set on the way to heaven, you are called, along with the rest of us who stumble and fall in many ways, to walk worthy of the Lord, walk worthy of the calling that you have. And of course, as we think about walking worthy, we each one can acknowledge that we stumble in many ways, that there are many things in our Christian walk that are less than worthy of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can also acknowledge that we get tired in our Christian walk in certain ways, that there are certain besetting sins that we just get tired of fighting against. And it's easy at times to just throw up our hands and to say, well, the Lord will take care of it all in eternity. And I guess this is not one that I need to really strive against. We also can become just simply content in ways that we are not walking worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of our temptations as believers is to, of course, believe that God will grade us on the curve. And, I'm doing better than a lot of other people who are still going to get into the kingdom of heaven, and so therefore that's good enough for me. But it's with that struggle in mind, it's because the Apostle Paul has experienced that struggle in his own life, that he knows how to pray not only for the church in Colossae, but also for us, and to call us to pray as well, to pray in this way that we would walk worthy of the Lord. That we would walk worthy of the Lord. And as we will see, these verses call us to pray for ourselves and to pray for one another that we would walk worthy of the Lord through the might of the Lord working in us. We are praying in these verses that God would empower us through His strength working in us to walk worthy of Him. So we're asking God in prayer, recognizing that this is not something we can do on our own. We're asking God that He, the Omnipotent One, would empower us, His people, so that we might walk worthy, so that we might walk in a way that is fully pleasing to Him. Now, we're just going to work through these four verses, and each verse will sort of be a separate point, if you will, in the sermon. And we see, first of all, and it's no surprise, if you think about going on a walk, right? If you think about not just the kind of aimless walking around where you're just strolling around with no particular place to go, no particular goal in mind, we see in verse 9 the call that to walk worthy, worthy walking means that we know from God's word where He wants us to go and how He wants us to get there. So to walk worthy of the Lord, you have to know how to walk. No surprise there as we think about going on this sort of a walk. And of course, the scripture has a lot to say about walking, right? That there's a wide path that leads to destruction, and that there is a narrow, difficult path that leads to the way of life. Now, it's a little more complicated, of course, as you know, than just merely being on the right path. You have shared the road at times in your driving with people who are on the right path, who presumably are not lost in the trying to get to their work or trying to get to wherever they are going, but they are quite obnoxious on the road, right? Even though they are on the road, they are not driving in a very worthy way. And actually, we can see this in our Christian walk as well. And that comes out in this verse. So walking worthy actually begins with being, verse number 9, being filled with the knowledge of his will. In order for us to walk worthy of the Lord, we have to be filled with knowing the will of the Lord for us. Right? We have to be filled with knowing his word. We have to be filled with knowing his commands, with knowing where he wants our lives headed. So we need to know his commands, for instance. But we also need to know things like the purposes of God in giving those commands. Think about the Pharisees for a minute. Right? They knew the commands of God, but the Gospels are quite clear that they were not walking in a way that was worthy of the Lord. They knew the commands, but they had perverted the heart of the lawgiver. And so even in the way that they were carrying out those commands, they were obnoxious. So walking worthy begins with a knowledge of God's will. But then we also see, still verse 9, that this being filled with the knowledge of his will includes all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, right? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so God's will here, and us walking in God's ways, includes walking in wisdom and with the understanding of the Spirit, a spiritual understanding. Now think about that for a minute, right? Someone can be walking, arguably, in a certain way, but doing so in an obnoxious way, right? They can be in the right path, but be trampling other people. And that's where the wisdom aspect of this verse comes in. Wisdom is the application of knowledge to real life situations. That wisdom is living out the commands in a way that is honoring to God. You can keep certain commands, but be lacking in wisdom. And so Paul prays not just that there would be this knowledge of the will of God, as in, like, well, I know the commands, but then that they would also have wisdom in the way that they are applying those commands. Doing the right things, but in right ways, we might say. Wisdom. And then understanding the spiritual understanding or understanding of the Spirit, sensitivity to what God is doing, sensitivity to the ways that God wants me to walk. Here's what I think is going on here in verse number 9 is, as we think about walking in a worthy way, that includes, it includes the direction of the walk, but it also includes the manner of the walk, right? It includes the relationships along the walk. That if we're stirring up trouble with other people, trampling them along the way, that sort of thing, that's not a worthy walk. It includes balance in our walk. How do we know in the Christian walk? I mean, if you think about like the book Pilgrim's Progress, how do we know when it's time to stop and help someone in the Christian walk? And how do we know when it's time for us to press on toward the goal, to win the prize? There's some both and that the Scripture calls us to. That calls for not only knowing the commands of God, but walking in wisdom, walking in the Spirit. And so, of course, as we think about this worthy walking, what we pray then is that God would fill us with His Word, that He would fill us by His grace with His Spirit, and that He would give us the experience that we need to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. To be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There are challenging situations in all of your lives, challenging relationships, challenging ethical dilemmas in your jobs. How do I walk in a way that's worthy of the Lord? And if we're going to walk in a way that's worthy of the Lord, as this prayer leads us to pray and to look to the Lord, we pray that God would reveal Himself, reveal His will to us through His Word, and that He would give us the wisdom and the spiritual discernment to know it, to apply God's Word to our lives. Walking worthy begins with knowing the direction and the manner in which God wants us to walk. Verse 9. Verse 10, step 2. To walk worthy of the Lord, you have to actually walk. Believe it or not, you have to not only know where to go, but you actually have to go there, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, you see grammatically here that we are called to walk worthy of the Lord. So to walk in a way that glorifies Him, to walk in a way that honors Him, and then we are given in the rest of the verse three phrases that describe this, that outline a little bit more. What does it mean? What does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord? Look at this. The first of those phrases, fully pleasing Him. Walking worthy of the Lord acknowledges the fact that we have been bought with a price. And that being bought with a price does not just include your Sunday morning and your Sunday evening, or your whole Lord's Day, or your whole Lord's Day plus a certain amount of time for prayer and Bible reading on weekday mornings. It doesn't include 6 days, 23 hours, and 30 minutes of your and my week. But it includes love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Fully pleasing the Lord. Fully pleasing the Lord does not mean that we have days off. It doesn't mean that we can draw parentheses around certain parts of our lives and say, I've given up so much of the rest of me to the Lord, but this and this and this are for me. Fully pleasing the Lord requires all of us. Once again, as we think about walking worthy, this is where so often, and it's so easy for us to get lulled to sleep. It's so easy for us to say, like, well, I'm above average in pleasing the Lord. you know, I get an A. When I was at Purdue, we were on straight letter grades. And that means there were no pluses and no minuses. I always felt like, well, if I get a 90 in the class, that's as good as a 95. It's as good as 100, maybe even better, right? Because think of all the time I saved. Why shoot for 100 when a 90 is the same 4.0? Or the worst grade of all to get would be like an 89. Because think of all that time I wasted. I could have just had an 80%. This makes no sense at all, right? Well, that's not the way. That might be a fine approach to a report card at college, but it's not an approach that fits with what the Lord calls us to. Fully pleasing to Him. Fully pleasing Him in our walk. So to walk worthy means that we seek to fully please the Lord in every area of our life with all that God has given to us. Second thing, walking worthy means being fruitful in every good work. Now let's unpack this. Being fruitful in every good work. What's that mean? Well, first of all, I want you to note the call here to actually bear fruit. I think that sometimes as Reformed believers in our understanding of God's sovereignty, which is a great comfort and assurance to us, but sometimes we can wrongly take God's sovereignty and say, therefore, I'm not accountable for the results. I'm not accountable to actually be fruitful in my life. Well, that's not really the biblical description of fruit bearing and of the relationship of the believer to fruitfulness. Now, there will be seasons in your life and situations where you obey, where you are honoring the Lord, and you might not see the fruit immediately. Or maybe you're obeying, and the fruit that is born out of that obedience is very different than the fruit that God had, that you thought was going to come out of that situation. But we are called to be fruitful. And in those situations where we are saying, well, I'm not being fruitful here, we probably need to go back to step one and to say, am I really walking in the ways of God? Am I really walking in wisdom? Am I really staying in step with the Holy Spirit here? Do I have spiritual understanding in the way in which I am carrying this out? Fruitful in every good work. Now, not only are we called here, walking worthy means that we are actually bearing fruit, but that we are fruitful in every good work. This is one of the dangers, I think, when we start talking about spiritual gifts and personality types and this sort of thing, which can in some ways be helpful to us, but can also be convenient excuses for us. Right? I'm a Christian who's called to hospitality and giving, and otherwise I can be grumpy. No. Fruitful in every good work. Walking worthy of the Lord doesn't mean that we get to pick and choose between virtues, between commands of God, between callings of the Christian life. Fruitful in every good work. It reminds us of that tree, those trees at the end of the book of Revelation that bear a different fruit, right? Different fruits every month of the year. That as Christians, we can't just say, well, God created me as an apple tree, so if you want plums, go somewhere else. And pears are, you can find pears, you know, in this section over here. And thankfully, we have some grape Christians and so on and so forth. No, we're to bear fruit. Being fruitful in every good work. This is what it means to walk worthy, fully pleasing, fruitful in every good work. Thirdly, increasing in the knowledge of God. That one shouldn't surprise you too much. Why? Because if we are walking worthy of the Lord, being directed by His word in the way that we should go, and we are walking in it, where will that lead us? It will lead us closer and closer to the Lord. And as we grow closer and closer to the Lord, in your light we see light. Right? Is it possible to walk worthy of the Lord, to walk in the way that God's called us to without drawing nearer and nearer to Him and saying, I understand God better than I did 10 strides ago? That as we draw nearer, we see Him more clearly. And so walking worthy, we know that we are walking worthy when our aim is to please Him fully, when we are bearing fruit in every area, and when our walk, our Christian walk, is taking us closer and closer to Him. All right, so to walk worthy, you got to know where you're going, verse 9. Verse 10, you've actually got to be going there. You can't just be sitting on the sidelines. That's not walking worthy. Oh, well, I can instruct others in how to walk. I know a lot about the Christian walk. I'll tell you all how to do it while I sit here. No, walking worthy means we're on the move, seeking to fully please the Lord, to bear fruit for Him. Third thing, verse 11. If you're starting to get overwhelmed, good for you. You're getting the point. And verse 11 comes at a very nice time for us, doesn't it? Paul prays and we pray, God, we want to walk worthy of you. We want to know your will and we want to do it. And if we're going to do that, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Three times there in the first clause of verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Empowered by His power according to His power at work within us. Is it overwhelming to you and me to think about walking worthy of the Lord? It is if we understand what it means. Right? This is way too big for me. We know our own hearts. We check out on the Lord. We say, I've done enough. I've done good enough. We grow weary in the race. And the only way that this is at all possible, that it's at all conceivable for you and me to walk worthy of the Lord, is exactly what verse 11 tells us to do. To be empowered by His power, working its power out through us. And notice verse 11 again. How will we know? How do you know in the Christian life God's power is at work in you? Empowering you. What's verse 11 say? It's when the health and wealth gospel is a reality in your life, right? You will know that God's power is at work in you when you have not one, but three Mercedes in your driveway. You will know that God's power is at work in you when you have perfect health and no sadnesses and no struggles. No, that's not what he prays, and that's not what verse 11 describes. How do we know that God's power is at work in us? When we can be patient and long-suffering with joy. You don't need to be patient when everything in the world is going your way. We need to be patient when there are traffic jams. Right? We need patience when we don't get our own way. Long suffering, the very word has the concept of suffering in it, right? It has a concept of difficulty, of burdens, of things not going well in our lives. Strengthened strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. When we can truly say, I count it all joy when I face trials of various kinds in my life, then we can say, you know, anyone can be happy when they've got the three Mercedes and when they have everything going perfectly in their life. But when I can be joyful when I'm suffering and when my patience is being tried to the max, that tells me that there's something going on that's outside of David Hansen, that there's something going on outside of you personally when you can be joyful in the midst of affliction. That's when we can say, God is really at work in me, and his grace is truly sufficient. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. It's when we can be patient in the midst of suffering, and joyful in the midst of suffering, that we can say, you know, God, through his power, is making me like the Lord Jesus Christ. That I'm able to be cheerful, that I'm able to trust the Lord, that I'm able to have joy, not just on the good days of my life, but that even when the walk is hard, even when the walk is very steeply uphill and sometimes you feel like you're clawing for every inch, or even sometimes when we feel like in Ephesians 6, right, after you've done everything to stand, just stand. Just be content that you're not slipping backwards. It may not feel like you're making any forward progress. And it's when we're content in those times and joyful in those times that we can say, you know what? God's power is at work in me. So to walk worthy of the Lord, we've got to know where we're going. We have to walk in a way that is fully pleasing to him. And that can only happen when his strength is being made perfect in our weakness. When, verse 11 again, when we are being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And so this passage calls us to pray, to call out to God, God, pour out your power on me. We do this all the time in singing the Psalms, right? God, there are haters who are far too strong for me. God, if you just let my sin overwhelm me, if you just let temptation come at me over and over again, I will give in. But God, I need you to strengthen me. I need you to empower me. And then that brings us to verse 12. When we see God empowering us to walk worthy of him, what does verse 12 tell us that we will do? We will be a thankful people, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. If you are walking worthy, and put that in quotes, if you are walking worthy and that leads you to a point of pride, of looking around and saying, I thank you, God, that I'm not like this publican with all of his sin. I thank you that I'm so wonderful in the Christian life. If you are walking worthy and it brings you to a point of pride, you are not walking worthy, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Walking worthy only happens when we rely on the power of God, and the result of being upheld by the power of God, of seeing, whoa, I'm joyful even in afflictions, I'm fruitful in ways that you know, that the person with my personality type shouldn't be fruitful. We say, thank you. Thank you, God. This is your work in us. You've done this, Lord. And it's an honor and a blessing for me to have you sustain me in this way, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Colossians 1, 9 through 12 is a call for prayer. It is a call for action on our part. It's a call for us to search the scriptures, to say, God, where I've gotten off track, or where my walk is not pleasing you, please instruct me. We sang that in Psalm 25 earlier. Instruct me in your paths. Make me know your way. It's a call for us to act, to walk, and yet it's a call for us to walk calling out to the Lord, God, I need you to empower me to do this. And to do that all while giving thanks. It's a passage of both great challenge to us, right? Because we can look at our lives and we can see places where we've stopped pursuing holiness as we ought to pursue holiness. We can see places where we've checked off boxes and said, hey, I'm in the 80th percentile. I'm in the 50th percentile of believers, and that's good enough for me, really, because it'd be really hard for me to do better than this. So it's a rebuke to us, but it's also a great encouragement to us. Because as we're asking God to enable us to walk worthy of Him, to let us know through His Word how to walk worthy of Him, we also are asking Him, God, extend your power to me. And this is the God who's promised us that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And it's very appropriate for us as we come to the end of the Lord's Day to remember once again that we worship today and not on Saturday anymore. Why? Because this is the day of the Lord's power. This is the day that the Lord raised up our Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. And the God who has the power to give life to the dead is the God who can strengthen you and me by His grace, with His power, in order that we might walk worthy of Him. And so may our expectation be not that, well, this is great, I'll go home and do better this week, but may our expectation be that God will be gracious to me, He will turn His face to me, and He will empower me through His strength to walk in a way that's worthy of Him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we confess to you that we fall down a lot, and that there are plenty of other times where we don't even fall down because we don't even try to walk, and we just sit out certain walks, certain areas. Lord, we pray that you would instruct us in your ways, that we as your people would know your word, that we would not only know your word, but that we would be given the wisdom by you to apply it to our own lives. And then, Lord, we pray that you would give us the strength that we might walk in it, that we might live our lives in a way that is fully pleasing to you, a way that would honor you for all that you've done for us, a way that would declare to the world, that would declare to the church, that would declare even to ourselves that we've been bought with a price and that therefore we will glorify you with our entire being. And yet, Lord, that's something you made us, you know us, you know the inclinations, the struggles of our hearts. You know the places where we've fallen down 100 times, 200 times, 1,000 times, and where it's so easy for us to just want to give up. And so, Lord, in those particular areas, we ask that you would extend your grace to us and that you would empower us through your might that works in us. And Lord, we know that as we see this taking place, that this will not be something that we can just say, well, look at how great I've done. But Lord, lead us through humility and through a right understanding to say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you have done in saving us and calling us with this holy calling, with this calling to walk in your ways. So strengthen us, Lord, that we might walk worthy of this great calling with which you have called us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.